Project Nerd fans, welcome to another episode of I'm Not Famous. I'm your host, Iggy, who is obviously not famous. I'm here with Carrie again, equally not famous.
Still.
We're working on it, though. And we're here with Tom today, the Colorado Batman and Batmobile, his sidekick, right here in shot. So how's it going, Tom?
It's going great. Had a great day today.
There we go. So Tom and Stacy are huge parts of Project Nerd. You guys were out today at a con today? What was it today?
So it's kind of like a typical weekend thing that we do. So we get contacted all the time by libraries or charities or other things to come and show our cars at events. And so this one was a local public library, and they were doing their first little mini-con. There. And so we brought both cars out and had a good time. It was
next episode, we're going to bring in Carrie's car and park it right here, too.
Yep, absolutely. Right next to it.
But we're going to need you to paint the Batman logo on the front, too, so that way I can get that going as well.
I can definitely help you out with that. What type of car is it?
I have a Nissan Altima.
It's a Nissan also.
It's the same bumper.
Close to it, right?
Awesome.
Not as sporty. It doesn't have the sexy curves.
I got the grocery getter mobile.
take the splitter that's over here and just like hook it up.
Oh, good.
On yours, it'll be.
Well, we can put Lion Cat on the.
Lion Cat on the. We'll just put a sticker. We'll put the Batman sticker on the front. We're good.
So we'll get into details definitely on the Batmobile. That was a big part of having you on to talk a little bit about it. But you are. So Colorado Batman and Batmobile is how people can find you online.
Right, on Facebook.
Yeah, and then you guys are also part of Colorado Movie Cars.
We're part of Colorado Movie Cars. We've been with them for like 5 years now, I think. And so great group of people. We normally do like Denver Comic Con and things like that with them, and a bunch of other events.
You said, a bunch of cons, but charity things and stuff too.
Yeah, charity things. So also part of a group called Heroes Alliance here in Colorado, and so a bunch of superheroes, and we just go around and do a bunch of charity things. So we like go to Children's Hospital and suit all up, and so I get fully Batman up and visit kids in the hospital.
Can do the Spider-Man thing now for Heroes Alliance.
Heroes Alliance here in Colorado. We love doing that sort of stuff, and like in between the event today and doing this with you guys, there was a neighbor who was a huge Batman fan. It was his birthday yesterday, and I talked to one of our other neighbors, and I'm like, hey.
He's turning 38.
38, right. And so I said, how cool would it be? I'll just bring the Batmobile by and, play the Batman theme, and you guys come out and whatnot. So I put a bunch of, Batman toys and stuff in a bag and had him try on the Batman mask, sit in the seat and stuff. And he was super appreciative. He was just like running out the door and stuff. So it was a lot of fun.
What birthday was it really though, not 38?
I don't know, 10, 7? I don't know.
I think this was the baby shower. He wasn't even born yet, right? Like, not sure on the age.
They had to carry him out.
So I know you've said, we've talked about it before too, but how long have you had the Batmobile? As the Batmobile. You probably had the car a little bit longer, but as the Batmobile.
Right. So, the longer story of it was, actually I had another 350Z, that I had bought, and it has kind of these scoops behind the back headrests, and they're kind of like the 1966, and I said, I'm going to turn that into the Batmobile. And so I actually had that running around as a Batmobile for a while. I was doing car shows and things like that, and then I saw this car come up online, and a guy down in Colorado Springs who was at the Air Force Base down there had it. And it was completely beat up. It was primer gray. The inside of it smelled like a wet gym sock.
Was it Dirty Mike and the Boys?
it was disgusting. The center console it looked like somebody had taken a jar of rubber cement and had just poured it into the center console. The back was filled with, they had a big speaker box in the back and had ripped that out, but there was like hot glue that was all over, and I spent an hour with a fabric shaver and a set of needle nose pliers, pulling all the glue out of that thing.
I'd have given up. Like,
yeah.
So, actually, there wasn't a long time before the transformation even started. So it was maybe 2 days of cleanup on it. And then, like I said, when I got it, it was the fiberglass was cracked all over it. I mean, it didn't look like this at all. And I started it out, it was a matte black. So there's this new kind of thing of painting. So instead of wrapping your car, you do this thing called Plasti-Dip. So it's the stuff that you dip like your tools in.
Our costuming audience will be very aware.
Yeah, exactly. Plasti-Dip. Oh yeah, so like when you're doing armor or whatever in order to seal it. But you can buy it in gallons, and so you have a big like paint sprayer and stuff.
Oh, I just assumed you took the gallon bucket.
Yeah, and just
and then took a roller.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Smooth it out.
Although some people paint their cars like that.
They obviously the person who had it before that.
Yeah. Oh my God, it was horrible. So it was matte black and had this kind of rubberized coating on there like day two, because it's funny. This museum here that we're shooting in was actually the first car show that I...
It's a movie studio.
It's a movie studio.
It's a movie studio.
For all of those out in TV land. This was the first car show that I did with this Batmobile.
Here.
It was here.
It's come around full circle.
It has come around.
You're welcome. That's the end of the episode. Yes, We've done it.
No. So, where do you go from there? Like it's...
So, the car club that we were part of, this Z Car Club of Colorado, had an event here, and we showed the car, and they're like, "Oh, wait a second, you had Stacy's car now." And
Wonder Z, the Wonder Woman 350Z, is the other car in the family.
Right, on Facebook, Wonder Z, if you look that up. So, and then actually shortly after I got it to that point, and then about a week later, I went into Car Toys because it came with a Viper alarm system. And it was alarming, but it wasn't locking and unlocking the doors. So I went into Car Toys to see if they could help me out with that. And they said, okay, well, we can do that. They hand my keys off to this technician, and I tell him, I said, okay, this thing came with this Viper alarm system. And it has a remote start on it. And he's like, whoa, isn't that a manual? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, we won't help you with that because that's like dangerous, that shouldn't be set up. I said, no, I just want you to lock and unlock the doors for me. And he starts fiddling with the remote. And he's like, oh, I think I just remote started your car. And it was parked outside and we're inside. So we all go running out and this guy goes, here, I unlocked it for you. I'm like, no, that's why I brought it here. And the car is, so at the end of parking spots, you have that concrete thing that sits right in front. Well, it was trying to remote start over and over and over and taking the whole front end that I had just built and snapping it and rolling it under. So the manager at the time, he's like, ugh. So now what do we do?
Because he had an employee at the keys.
Yeah, exactly. But they said they weren't responsible because they weren't working on it. It was on a Friday that happened. I called into my insurance company and they said, so did you have it in park? And I said, no, I didn't have it in park. Well, then you're responsible.
That's why, and I know a lot of, I worked at Best Buy for a long time, and our install bay wouldn't do that either. They won't put the remote starts on manuals because of that very reason.
Right, exactly. And then we had an argument. I said, well, where are you at with this insurance guy? And he's like, I'm in Kansas or something like that. I said, I'm going to drive to Kansas. I'm going to take your car and I'm going to run it into the wall. I'm in control of your car. So who's responsible? Oh, well, I'm going to have to get a supervisor.
That was the first person you okay. So that was the person that answered the phone is who you told this to.
Yeah, this guy's like, yeah, gotcha. I don't know what to do here.
Dude, I've been training for a week, man.
Yeah. You know, I just started yesterday.
I'm just reading out of a book. Come on.
But fortunately, what ended up happening was then the general manager, I guess, of the location, then from Car Toys, not mentioning any names, anyway, so he said, well, this would be a PR nightmare if we don't take care of this for you. And so they basically gave me the corporate credit card and said, do whatever you need to do in order to, you know, fix this thing. So $4,000 worth of damage later.
Wow.
You know, fix the whole front. Because it basically, this all was one piece when it started out. So your bumpers were tied into the quarter panels, into the, all the way around into the rear bumper, all the way around. So it basically had nowhere to flex. So it just started breaking all over the place. And so, yeah, that was a couple of months.
That was a little bit ago, but even 6 months ago, this car looked, I don't want to say completely different, but it had many different parts and looked different for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You've done a lot of work on it many times, but you spent a good amount of time lately on it.
This is the third round of accidents. The second one, I was coming up I-25 and the rear passenger tire shot out of it.
Oh.
It ripped the whole back end off of it again because it's all tied together. It had nowhere to go except to just rip it off. And so that was 3 months worth of damage. I was actually looking at a 1978 Corvette to turn it into another Batmobile, and was way out west here in Colorado, and the county road I was supposed to go on wasn't actually a county road, it was a farm road, and I'm going along, it goes from gravel to mud to stuck. Farm truck comes along with a big chain and is pulling me out backwards, drags me over a concrete culvert, and rips the whole front end off of the car because it caught. And so it ripped up all the underside of the passenger side, and then about a week later, because it didn't have a bumper on it, the hood then popped up. I had just moved into the HOV lane, and the hood pops up, and then it wrapped around the roof, smashed me in the head. So I'm trying to move over from the HOV lane, five lanes.
Is that Tommy Boy or Black Sheep where they're driving and then the hood just...
Oh, and the, what is it, a Black deer sheep. In the back?
Black Sheep.
Oh, yeah, the deer gets up and tears up the whole roof afterwards.
Yeah.
But he left the oil. Did you change the oil? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't know what that would have to do with the hood popping open while we're driving. Because you left the oil can in the car. Whatever.
Right. It's like. So then, the first part of that damage was about... $4,000 for the whole front, and then new hood, new sides, new quarter panels, and new roof on there, new bumper on here. So weird thing, these bumpers. So I actually had two bumpers delivered from California to match the original one that was on here, and they both arrived cracked. First one had a corner just kind of bumped right out of it, and the second one looked like somebody had just dropped it straight down before they set it off. Like, nope, these are really, really expensive.
That's when they were pulling it from the shelf and it just drops, and they're like, is the box look good still? Yeah, I'll ship it out. Ship it out. I'm sure it'll be fine. There's like plenty of packaging in there. It'll be fine.
So I'm like, I'm going to try something different than fiberglass for the bumper this time. And so this is a polyurethane. And it came in a box, no lie, it was maybe half of the couch and about this tall. And it came folded like this. And I thought, man, this thing is never going to ever come back out to this shape. But they mix it with some type of chemical that it just unfurls, and then just however they molded it, it just...
See, and I'm going off topic again here, but that's like my fear of buying the new foam mattresses. Because I'm like... When I buy a mattress, I want it to be a mattress, and now you're shipping me this thing in a tube in plastic, wrapped, and I'm like, I don't want my mattress to be this thin and then fold out and fluff up, fluffer.
You don't want one of those foam mattresses anyway. We bought one from a store in town a number of years ago, probably 5 years ago, and we couldn't even sleep on it for 2 weeks because...
You have to wait for it to
Well, not only come back to shape, but it smells toxic. We had candles and air purifiers and all these things.
We couldn't sleep on it for 2 weeks because the candles were too close and it caught on fire.
Right? Yeah.
No, that didn't happen. But fortunately, after about 2 weeks of sleeping on the couch, we could finally use our new.
No, for different numbers. I've known you guys for a while and stuff, but how far back does your love of Batman go?
I think probably back to right around 2005 is kind of the start of it. So we did a Halloween party, kind of a costume party at some friends of ours' house that we were working with, and I bought like the Kmart like bat suit, you know, just the foam Fated abs
glory.
And
glory.
And stuff, and you know, it wasn't close at all, and but it served the purpose for that day. And Stacy was driving a black BMW at the time, and I had cut out a bat symbol and then put it on.
See, I told you you can do it for your car.
Yeah. Cut out just a paper thing, and I think it was glued on there, or like had Elmer's on the back or whatever, and just stuck it to the hood. And that's kind of where it started. And then that progressed along, you know, in time, and then came out here, bought that first Z and was turning that into there, and I still had that awful old suit. And then I found there's a like a rental place just south of us, and I went in there, and they had a bat suit, 89 Keaton one, that they were renting out, and they said, okay, well, it's
do you get that reference?
89 Keaton? The only Batman.
Okay. Yeah. I'll just make sure.
Sorry. Yeah.
No, I feel Batman.
Kevin Conroy.
Yes, he definitely the voice of definitive voice of Batman. So I went in there like it's $40 a night, or you can buy it for like $500, and I'm starting to calculate this out, and I'm like, okay, how many Halloweens would that be in order to be able to pay for that? And then
they're like $40 a night, and it's just a $50 deposit, and you're like, John Smith, 123 Way Drive,
Indy,
you're like Iggy Mishnagi,
right? So we
managed on the last episode of the day to get the doorbell.
Bring it full circle.
from our first episode to our last episode, we got doorbell on both of them. So this is fantastic.
But let me ask, like, why Batman? I think you address kind of like, I'm just saying, like, some people but you talked about, you know, the creation of the vehicle,
right?
You know, kind of, you know, why this, but why Batman in general?
That's a great question. I guess he's always been kind of like the pinnacle superhero, because growing up watching Justice League cartoons, you know, growing up. I always felt, was more the leader of Justice League than Superman, definitely, which we hate. We cannot stand Superman. It's so funny. We watch cartoons and stuff, and Superman's always the first one to fly in, and he's always the one to, like, get his butt kicked. Like, he's flying the other direction, like, immediately. And so... he's just always been the iconic leader, and he's super smart. But he
has no power, right? Like,
he's got the best superpower.
Exactly, money. Right.
So we say that, right? So it was like you're talking about Superman flying in,
right?
Still getting beat up. Batman seems to like never have any trouble.
Most of the time.
He's never in trouble. It's, look, here's a new toy that we created, now you're dead.
You don't understand.
Well, and he's smart, he's the one, if you watch or read a bunch of the comics, when the rest of the Justice League ends up getting into trouble, okay, the Flash ends up getting captured, who saves him? Batman.
Right.
Superman is under the control of somebody, who goes in to save him? Batman. Wonder Woman, she doesn't really get... you know, caught anymore.
He's just there.
Yeah.
He's like, that's Wonder Woman.
Yeah. She holds her own.
Like, he's like the dad of the Justice League family.
Yeah, and I mean...
But so you say, like, you feel like he's the leader of that team, right? So he would have to be there.
Yeah, so things like the... there's an episode where Batman basically leaves the Justice League and because they're all mad at him because he had all these contingency plans for all of them, and he's like, I had to.
He even says, like, if you guys don't have a contingency plan for if something, if I go rogue, then you
it's all on you.
Yeah, that's you're not prepared.
Right. So
he goes, I stand behind this decision.
And so the father sort of thing definitely speaks to the why. Again, he's kind of the central unit of the whole Justice League. And,
so know, who's who's Batman's who's the correct partner, female partner?
Definitely Wonder Woman.
You think Wonder Woman?
I do.
As a romantic relationship?
I do, yep.
It's because you guys are Batman and Wonder Woman.
Well, yeah. I mean, I kind of also have to say that on camera.
Just whisper here. The microphone won't pick it up.
Yeah. I felt that before we even headed down that path. Is I think they have more, and there's the one cartoon episode where they all get turned into kids. And there's a romantic episode between Batman and Wonder Woman when they're kids, and I just think that's a much better pairing than this kind of forced relationship between Catwoman and.
Is that forced? That's my pick. My pick's okay. Catwoman.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it.
It's the whole thing. The whole thing for years is just it's flirting. It's just Catwoman is flirting with him the whole time.
I see that, but as a long-term relationship.
Batman's broken, dude. The long-term relationship, he's going for the one that's... He's going for the bad girl. He's going for
So you're saying he's going for crazy.
Shut your mouth.
Right? I'm just saying, like, yeah. You got. But it's in life in general. You have, like, the one you shouldn't be with, but you want to, the one you should be with and you need to settle down with and have... Yeah.
I think morally, though, that he has a compass that... makes him more suitable for a relationship with the moral compass of what Diana Prince or Wonder Woman
that's a very fair
bring
argument
together versus even Wonder Woman and Superman, because Superman is just a dumb blockhead, and that's just how I feel. And how she could even like think of being romantic involved with Superman.
I think the reason Superman and Wonder Woman get romantically paired so often is because their power.
Immortal.
Yeah, like they're they're basically in DC, you have all the people that gain power somehow,
right?
And then you have these two characters. I mean, you have more characters, but in the core characters,
right?
These are the two characters that that come from a greater power. Basically, are a greater power as opposed to I got shocked by lightning or somebody gave me a ring or whatever. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. But so answer the question.
I was curious.
Batman.
Do you have a ultimate pairing?
Wonder Woman.
That would require me knowing two of them. I'm gonna go Batman and Poison Ivy.
Batman and Poison Ivy. Ooh.
Batman and Mr. Freeze. I don't know, man. Like, I tried to name. Those
you gotta pick a villain that he's gonna
Earth
be Batman 4, and the Joker.
Exactly.
On Earth 4,
right?
You know,
I'm saying
Mr.
Like,
Freeze.
I'm going
Batman
back to like Arnold Schwarzenegger's in my mind right now, like Mr. Freeze. You got Chris O'Donnell ruining Robin.
Tonight's forecast. Right? A freeze. Wait.
It's so bad.
Oh, yeah, Chris O'Donnell. You said it right. Okay, I thought you were saying Robin like ruined Chris O'Donnell's career. I'm like,
no.
That dude.
Chris O'Donnell doesn't have a career. No. He just joined the NCIS series and
so favorite
whatever.
Batman movie?
Please take
it. Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
But then beyond the animated, you know, version of the book, it would be 89 Keaton.
Yeah. He's the only Batman. To me, he makes the role, like, it's not, like, overpowering, aggressive. Like, he's just, you can see a regular person in that.
And
that's what I like about it. It's
he
not
was
just
a
like,
great Batman.
Yes.
But he doesn't really transform to a Bruce Wayne.
I think he does.
I think that's exactly what I was going to say.
And
maybe you're goading me on this because you probably already know the answer. On
that, I really feel that way.
Okay, so I think Ben Affleck for
I have no problem with Ben Affleck.
Everybody is kind of against him, and I think it's because of the movies. But for somebody who is a solid Batman and a solid Bruce Wayne, I think he pulled that off better than anybody else. You look at all the people who played him. You look at Val Kilmer, maybe played a better Bruce Wayne than he did a Batman, because that was super cheesy. You had the whole Dark Knight series, and Christian Bale. the whole raspy voice thing that he did in terms of Batman, I hated that. I just couldn't. I understood why it was done, but there were also so many other things that are inside of that series that just brought it to a point where the Batmobile is the tumbler thing is not a Batmobile. I understand the practicality of it being, you know, all part of the Wayne Sciences division and everything but that's not a Batmobile.
To blame on Frank Miller.
Yeah, I get to the end of, you know, Batmobiles right before the whole Dark Knight series. You just take out the tumbler and then, you know, move past that. So,
well, I think outside of Clooney, I think all of them have their pieces where you can say they did this part good. But yeah. I think Keaton looked the part. He was a great Batman. I think as much as you hate him directing other movies, Tim Burton did a fantastic job capturing a dark, gritty Gotham at that time was Batman was. But I felt like when he became Bruce Wayne, he was still the Batman character. Like, he didn't really...
I don't know. I like the insecure version. Like, I like that that's... You put on that costume. Like, I always go back to the why. Like, why would he become this vigilante? Obviously, they identify it's his mom and dad. But I like the idea of him being a character outside of himself. So when I see these other, like, cocky, like, Ben Affleck, you don't see a transition between the character that when he puts on the suit and when he becomes Bruce Wayne.
That, or Val to me, Kilmer.
Right, it's
Val
the same
Kilmer,
character.
That was the reason that I didn't like him.
See, I think you're also...
Like, they wrote that horrible. Like, Val Kilmer was good. Like you said, like when you saw him like be himself,
right?
It was great. But as soon as he put on the suit and all the action and all like the stuff,
it was still cheesy. And then you had, you know, Jim Carrey in there that
I wanted to be good, just be a good Riddler.
That was the first time that your main antagonist character, not non-main antagonist characters, or your protagonist, excuse me, your non-main star got paid $20 million for a movie. Jim Carrey for that movie. It's crazy. Back in the 90s, too. That was insane how much he got paid for that. But, no, I don't know. I think Christian Bale as the young one, and he has to pretend to be the drunk, I think he does the parts right. I think Christopher Nolan did a great job directing. I get that there's the complaint with certain aspects of it, but, again, that goes back to Frank Miller, I think, more so than Nolan or Bale. And then I agree with you. I think overall the casting for the new DC cinematic universe has been good. The casting.
Correct.
It's just not been well directed and written.
Right.
Because Cavill, I think, looks the part of Superman, but when he does anything as Superman, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And I think Affleck as the... I think if you were to put Affleck in as the Batman in his prime, everything probably doesn't work. But as the older, beat up, like, I'm jaded, I'm worn, I'm all that, I think he played it off pretty well.
Yeah.
And we all know, I mean, Godot is Wonder Woman. Like, there's no
Fantastic.
Question there. And I think even, what's his name, is The Flash. I can't remember his name, but...
Yeah. We'll put it right here.
Yeah,
he's the kid from the WB series or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's a different actor.
Which, actually, I think that Flash is actually pretty good, too.
The show, he's pretty good. I don't know, but the casting's good. I feel like... I know everybody, like, I love Snyder, what Snyder did with Watchmen, and he did great on 300, but he was adapting dark, gritty type material, and then I think he's just done that into everything else he's done.
Is the problem. And that's where you had the Man of Steel 2, and you're like, and then you came into Batman versus Superman, and you're like, man, this is really dark too. It had too much of a dark flavor
too.
And that's where Marvel is just kicking DC's butt, is because there's humor, there's that interaction, playfulness. That's, you know, in the Justice League movie, the Flash came off so well because of, you know, I think that banter between the two.
But you had that with, you know, certain aspects of what Jack Nicholas's Joker.
One older one. We're talking about the new.
Well, you had that. It was obviously done. Why is it not being done now? You mentioned humor or the ability. You can still have humor in the character, but the people complained about it being off of the comic, right?
So dark. And I think it's
because they loved Heath Ledger's Joker, but they didn't like Jack Nicholas because he played it too comical, and Heath Ledger played it very serious. So it's weird to have a serious Joker, right? Like, to me, like, shouldn't you have
that was a
in
weird,
that character?
That was a weird thing going back to, you know, that is Heath Ledger killed it as Joker. Like, one of the best Jokers, I think, out of the entire series forward. But, the Batman part of that just didn't.
Well, I think it's hard because I think Nicholson was obviously great as the Joker, and Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman was just beyond perfect for that time
yeah,
period,
that was
especially at our age.
You didn't like Halle Berry as Catwoman?
That movie doesn't even exist. I don't even know what you're talking about.
But it's it was taken out of the shelf.
It does not mentally. I have you ever seen Eternal Sunshine and Spotless Mind where they remove memories?
I went and had that done for that.
That's
movie. The one memory. Like I just want to get rid of this.
Just
They're
like, sir, you don't want to forget a relationship. No, just that one movie. Get rid of it. They're like, all of her movies? No, I want to remember the Flintstones. Really, sir? It's like, yeah.
But I think the Penguin, like there was when you had that kind of role with Keaton.
Danny DeVito,
all of them, there was a human, or more importantly, a humor-related element to those characters.
There was.
It wasn't like they were telling
jokes.
Very
dark humor.
Exactly. But you can get behind that. Heath Ledger, you couldn't get behind.
But I feel like...
But it was also the worst Two-Face. Like, that Two-Face killed me, and I just turned it off.
Oh, well, that's when you get the Shoemaker, because you went from Burton...
But it's Thomas Jane. That was a horrible casting person.
Oh, you're talking about that Two-Face.
You can't go from Tommy Lee Jones... Now, granted, like that was a horrible
movie. You're saying
Tommy Lee Jones was Two-Face.
I know he was.
That was significantly better than Thomas Jane.
Anything Shoemaker question.
Thomas Jane was horrible. Anybody else you could have got even better. But I'm just saying, like Tommy Lee Jones, because that's what I liked with, because I was with the Riddler, right? It was a Riddler and Two-Face, mm-hmm. and I love those moments in that movie where the two of them are together. I think there's Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones.
They were all right villains. He was perfect as Riddler. Carrey was, but anyways, we are getting low on time, so we plug the pages where people can find you if they do want to book the Batmobile here. As we said, Colorado Batman Batmobile, Colorado movie cars, and even throw out the plug for Wonder Z, the Wonder Woman car that's also in the family. So, Tom, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Great time talking about the car, and more importantly, debating Batman. Which I had to cut us off because we could probably do that for
We could
days.
Do it for
We could
hours,
debate all the
hours,
Batman
hours,
stuff
hours.
For
this
days.
This is the setting for it.
But this, again, has been I'm Not Famous on Project Nerd. Until next week, goodbye.
Credits.
Throw the cards.
Credits.
Throw the cards.
Credits.